Today we're speaking with author Melissa Crandall of Elf and Speak, A Devoted Keeper's Life Among the Herd. Thanks for being with us, Melissa. All right, so let's talk about the book Elf and Speak. What inspired you to write it?
Back in 1997, I was a volunteer at the Oregon Zoo. It was then called the Washington Park Zoo. And I asked to be part of a group that was going to maintain an around-the-clock watch on the matriarch of the elephant herd, Belle, who had undergone surgery. And it was just the roll of the dice that partnered me that night with senior keeper Roger Henius. And it was an extraordinary time for me. We didn't do a lot of talking, but there was a lot of empathy shared between us and our concern for Belle, and he did share a few things about her, and it was just an experience for me that stuck with me. And through the years, I kept thinking I really ought to write about this, and I wasn't quite sure how to approach it, and finally decided after years to try to incorporate it into a short story and contacted the zoo. One thing led to another, and somebody put me in touch with Roger. And the minute I started talking to him, I thought there's a much larger story here than a short story. And that kind of started it off. It was this one episode, this one evening, and then I never saw him again.
Oh, wow. So it really did stick with you.
It really, really did. And he and I have both talked about it, and we can't quite figure out what it was that clicked between us, but it was very clear. I mean, I didn't see Roger again after that night, and I contacted him almost 20 years later, and the first time we talked on the phone, we clicked right back into place.
That's kind of incredible. I can totally imagine why you would want to, you know, write this again.
It was impactful.
And was he still working at the zoo when you contacted him again?
No, he was long retired. The incident, the night I spent with them was in 1997. He retired the following year.
Oh, so he'd been working there. So his 30-year career that you mentioned, he'd been doing that for a long time before you came.
1968, yeah. He was brought in in 1968, and he retired in 1998.
I see. What is the most important things for listeners to understand about this book?
I guess my goal in writing the book was there were a couple of reasons I wanted to write this book. One was because I just felt it was a wonderful story about this man and his relationship with the elephants. But the era in which Roger worked as an elephant keeper doesn't exist anymore. There have been a lot of changes, a lot of positive changes in elephant care. And Roger was working in an era when often elephants were not treated well. They're big animals, they're intelligent animals, but they can be very intimidating animals. And if you're afraid of them, bullying behaviors come out when people are afraid. And what Roger chose to do instead was to develop a relationship with the elephants that was based on trust and was based on cooperation. And his whole attitude was kind of centered around the idea of, if you are getting resistance, use your mind, find a way to work with this. So it was very important to him to learn different ways of communicating for the elephants. That's something I want to bring across. And the other thing I like to bring across in the book is what we can do moving into the future to make sure elephants continue to survive as a species.
Of course. Yeah, because I know across the country and the world, a lot of people protest zoos for how they treat animals, and it seemed like Roger took a completely different approach and treated them more like, you know, people.
Well, you know, and I think a lot of keepers do that. That's been my experience with the keepers that I've met. I think there are really good zookeepers doing the very best that they can for their animals than there are bad ones. But like with anything in society, if nobody hears about the good stories. A lot of people don't understand, you know, people who are not working in the zoo environment, that the keepers, by and large, don't get to make a lot of the decisions about what happens with the animals. Those decisions are made further up the line. And quite often, there may be decisions that they disagree with, told, that's too bad. And they're not going to think that would harm the animal, per se, but it's a certain challenge to the job. But I think more zookeepers are very positive about their work and very much caring for their animals than keepers that don't take care of their animals.
Of course, and Roger seems like a great example of that.
Absolutely. When he was hired by the elephant keeper, Al Tucker. And Al very much had that attitude. And he had developed that as keeper to Portland's original elephant, Rosie, back in 1953. Mm. And he passed that on to Roger. And then Roger built upon that. And elephant curator at the zoo now, Bob Lee, will be the first one to tell you that the work that they're doing now, they built directly upon the work that Roger did before.
I see. That's awesome. There's some kind of lineage of caring for these animals, because I know elephants have been around at the zoo for a very long time.
Yes, since 1953.
Wow. Do you still work with the Oregon Zoo?
No, actually, I moved away from Oregon shortly after my evening in the elephant barn, and I've been living on the East Coast since then.
How does your story relate to the complex ethical conversation around animal welfare in zoos?
Well, I touch a little bit on animal welfare, especially as regards to elephants. It's not a predominant part of the book because the book is about Roger and his life. But we do touch on it. We touch on the fact that it's a very complicated topic. And when I first started working on the book, my feeling, I was fairly pro-zoo. I don't like seeing animals in cages, but I felt fairly pro-zoo. And it's not that I feel anti-zoo now. I don't mean to sound like I'm fence-sitting. I'm trying to find where the balance is. I think part of the problem when it comes to discussions about this subject is that people want what they want. You've got all the different camps, and they want what their viewpoint is. And they're not always willing to listen to one another. And there cannot be one right answer for helping the elephants survive into the next century and beyond. There's no way there can be only one answer. The answers all have to work together and give and take off of each other if we have any hope whatsoever of helping them to survive.
It's good that you are highlighting someone, and it seems like even a lineage of people who are doing good things for the zoos and the animals in them.
Absolutely. And the keepers understand that a lot of the people who advocate for elephants to be released from zoos are doing it from a good place. They're doing it because they care for the elephants. Roger has been hearing the whole idea of release the elephants from the zoo, release them back into the wild. He's been hearing that since 1968. And his response to that now is, show me a piece of wild that's large enough to accommodate an elephant. We're losing territory. They are losing their natural rangelands at a frightening rate. Where are we supposed to put them? And even now, after 30 years that he was at the zoo, he's not certain he likes seeing elephants in the zoo, but if not in the zoo, then where? Zoos, to a degree, zoos may be one of the options we have in order to keep the species alive. The elephants at the Oregon Zoo, I don't know their personalities well enough to be able to say, would they tolerate being released to a sanctuary or not? And I would never make that judgment call. That's not mine to make. There's Shine and Rose 2 and Samudra. They have always been at the zoo. And it's possible that any change would disrupt them, you know, just like it would anybody else. I think some elephants do great in sanctuaries. I think some are content to be where they are. I think they all need to be with company. I think any keeping an elephant in isolation, I think, is wrong. That's a personal stand.
I think you're right in that, you know, if animal is comfortable, it's like almost anything. If you're comfortable in one place and they bring you to somewhere that is completely new and foreign to you, it oftentimes doesn't go well.
Yeah, and elephants are a lot like people. They all have individual personalities. So what one elephant would tolerate beautifully, another one will not. So you have to judge that on a case-by-case basis. You can't make broad statements saying, you know, every elephant should be in a sanctuary. And sanctuaries are great. I've met some very nice people through doing research for the book at the Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee. But even they will say, this is not the wild. Elephants are still being cared for by people. They just have a much larger area in which to roam, but it cannot be confused with the wild.
Mm-hmm. What is, just to wrap this up, you don't have to spoil anything. Does this book come out this week?
Yes. As a matter of fact, it comes out tomorrow, and we are having our launch party at Powell's Books in Portland on Wednesday.
What is one of your favorite stories that Roger told when you were getting information for this book?
Oh, boy. Every story was so good. He told a story about, this actually didn't occur when he was there. He actually had a very rare three-day weekend and had gone somewhere. And when he got back, his teenage daughter looked him straight in the eye and said, call the zoo. And so he's like, oh, all right, what's happened? So he calls the zoo, and he didn't even ask what was wrong. He just called them and said, I'm on my way. So he gets there, and he discovered that one of the male elephants had bitten off part of the trunk of another male elephant.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
Yeah, 8 inches worth of trunk.
Oh, my goodness.
So here's these two male elephants. They managed to somehow connect with one another. One took offense to something the other was saying, and bam, he bit off a portion of the trunk. So they quarantined the injured elephant. They put him in what's called, these days it's called an elephant restraint device. Back in the old days, it was called a crush, even though it never crushed an elephant. It would just hold an elephant securely so they could draw blood or give them medication or whatever it was they needed to do. But they had to keep this elephant, Hugo, in the elephant restraint device for several weeks because he could not feed himself. So they had to feed him manually, 100 pounds of hay, however much grain, vegetables, whatever. Every time anybody went by, they'd be giving him a handful of food. And then one day Roger went by and he just picked up a flake of hay and tossed it in to give to Hugo. And he said, Hugo took it and spit it out and then used his trunk to feed himself, as if looking at Roger right in the eye the whole time, as if to say, see, I've come back. I can do this. Mm-hmm. And Roger said he got a big lump in his throat, almost started to cry. And he's like, well, we can let you out of the crush now. And so they let him out, and he was fine after that. His trunk had been bitten in such a way that the top was a little bit longer than the bottom, just like an elephant's trunk is, with that little finger they have, at that prehensile finger. Mm. And he learned to use it.
Wow. That is so powerful.
That has been, I think, a thread that's run through all of Roger's stories to me, is how deeply he was affected by each and every one of the elephants. He was extremely close with all of the females because he could go among the females, and he did every day, because this was back in the day when they didn't have protected contact. They had what was called free contact. And so they were in and out of the enclosure with the animals all the time. But even with the bulls, who he had to be particularly careful of, there was always a grudging respect. And the way he described it to me was this. He said, elephants are always who they are. They're honest. They never pretend to be something they're not, and you can take them on their word.
Wow. If that doesn't get you to read this book, I don't know what does.
Well, I'm biased, but I think it's a pretty good story.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with us, Melissa.
Thank you, Daniel. It was wonderful.
We've been speaking with Melissa Crandall, the author of the new book, Elephant Speak, A Devoted Keeper's Life Among the Herd, from Ooligan Press. Melissa will be reading from the book at Powell's City of Books on March 4th. For KBOO News in Depth, I'm Daniel Conway.